And then those keen observations, that heightened sense of observation, that heightened sense of awareness, puts together things contextually, but not necessarily rationally. I remember reading this great joke a while ago. You know, Sherlock Holmes works with Dr. Watson. And so Dr. Watson is always amazed at his amazing intuitive abilities. And one day he comes into the room and Sherlock Holmes says, "Aha, my dear Watson, I see you have already started wearing your winter underwear." And Watson says, "Marvelous, my dear Holmes, marvelous. How did you know?" And Sherlock Holmes says, "Elementary, my dear Watson, elementary. You've forgotten to put on your pants." Okay. A heightened sense of awareness. A heightened sense of awareness is what intuition is. And lots of people also say women are more sensitive than men, and probably that's true. And I'm going to ask you about this. I've always kind of rationalized that by thinking that women are more in touch with their bodies biologically, evolutionarily. They've had to nurture a human being in their body for 9 months before.
Not all women.
Yes, but you know, biologically anyway, they're programmed to listen to their bodies more. And to be in touch with your body, to be fully present in your body, is also to eavesdrop maybe on the environment, because your body is picking signals from the environment all the time. So intuition is non-algorithmic, contextual, relational, wise, nourishing, does not have a win-lose orientation, is beyond linear cause-effect relationships, and I hope we can all begin to culture it. I think I'm beginning to do that sometimes, but I also worry about it, because you worry because, you know, how can you be 100% sure that the voice that you're listening to is genuine or not? And that's something I want to ask you. You know, and of course, we all indulge in projections many times. We see the world as we see ourselves. I have this experience. I'm traveling frequently all over the country. Tomorrow morning, I'm going to New York early in the morning at 6. And these days when I'm switching planes, walking across airports, because my book is all over the place, people will recognize me and they'll come up to me and somebody will say, "Oh, Dr. Chopra, you look so tired. Are you taking care of yourself?" And, you know, I'll start feeling tired for 5 minutes after that. And then 5 minutes later, somebody else will come up and they say, "What are you doing? You look so amazingly fresh. Are you meditating all the time?" So it takes a while to realize that, you know, when people say those things, they're actually talking about themselves and not about you. You know, how we look at ourselves is how we also look at the world. And frequently our projection interferes with our intuition. If you find yourself being defensive before you're criticized, if you find that you have extreme opinions about things, if you find that you tend to use verbal formulas, if you find that you think you're frequently misunderstood, if you ask others for their opinions and get upset if you don't like what they say, if you feel threatened by authority figures, if you finish sentences for people, then you're probably not very intuitive. You've got to start getting rid of those projections. So anyway, those are my brief comments. I wanted to introduce Dr. Orloff. She's first of all an MD. She's a board certified psychiatrist. She has a private practice in psychiatry in Los Angeles. She's an assistant clinical professor in psychiatry at UCLA. And on the staff at Cedars-Sinai Medical Center in Los Angeles. She is trained in neuropsychiatry and practices at the Neuropsychiatric Institute. She's training medical residents to be intuitive. And she's been very well received by critics and commentators on books. She is the author of the current book, which is called Dr. Judith Orloff's Guide to Intuitive Healing, 5 Steps to Physical, Emotional, and Sexual Wellness. And your last book was called?
Second Sight.
Second Sight. And was also about medical intuition, or more than that, about intuition in general.
It was more coming into intuition, all the struggles and fears and triumphs and coming out as intuitive.
Second Sight. So her books will be available, by the way, after the lecture if you want to get one and have her sign them. And she's giving great lectures and workshops all over the country. And this evening when she came up, to meet me upstairs, she said to me that Coleman Barks sends you his love. So I said, oh, Coleman Barks, how do you know Coleman Barks? She said, well, he's my sweetheart. Now, I hadn't been intuitive enough to just by her demeanor guess that. But you've been to some of these satsangs where we've had Coleman, and he's just an amazing guy and has done some great stuff with Rumi. And actually, she's doing some workshops with Coleman Barks on Rumi, intuition, and healing. Put it that all together. So I'm going to ask you, how did you get involved in the work that you do? You're a psychiatrist. Give us a little background, and then tell us about your book.
I thought you were going to ask something else.
I said, how did you get involved with Coleman? You're not very intuitive, if you thought I was going to ask you. Go ahead. Tell us.
How did I get involved with intuition?
Yeah, tell us. We'll ask about Coleman later.
As long as I can remember, from the time I was born, I always had a sense of God. I've been really blessed with that. I've never not felt God. And I've been one of these people. It's been an incredible thing for me. And through this knowing, I grew up as a little girl in Beverly Hills, and I always had this sense of God, of spirit. And I always had this voice that spoke to me, that told me about things when I was a little girl. I would have premonitions. Oftentimes when I was a little girl, it was about scary things. I would predict deaths. I was always very good at predicting death. Always been. I still am. And it's a very beautiful thing to be able to pick up intuitively, to pick up death and then be able to know about that. But as a child, that scared me. I'd pick up deaths. I would always know if an earthquake was about to happen. My parents would bring their friends home, and I would say things like, I don't trust this person. And they would say, well, how can you say that? You've never even met them. And from an intuitive standpoint, it doesn't matter if you've never met anyone before. If you get, it's particularly with children. I mean, children are so infinitely creative. When they're around someone, they sense energy, they get it. Intuition is a transmission. It comes through very quickly. It's not like the rational mind, where you have to analyze. It comes through the body. Children know. And I knew certain things. And I made a lot of predictions when I was little. When my grandfather died, I had a dream the night before he died that he came to me and to tell me that he loved me very much and that he was about to die. And so I had this message that came through, and I remember running into my parents' room in the dark and telling them, oh, just had a dream about Grandpa, and he came in and he said he was about to die. And my parents said, oh no, you're just having a nightmare, that's all. And then walked me back and tucked me into bed. And the next morning my aunt called from the East Coast to let us know that my grandfather had died. And so very early on, I had a very direct experience that visitation was possible. And that when you love someone very much, often the intuition is amplified. And because he was so important to me, and out of an act of love, he came to me in a dream as a little girl. I was very little. And he came to me. I was innocent, so I was able to receive it. Innocence is so important in terms of being able to receive intuition. The mind, the ego, stands in the way. But when you get in the mind of the child, and you get in that sense of innocence of the heart, and many children are there, it hasn't been squashed yet, or bludgeoned out of them. Really, and that's what happens in our culture. Terrible violence is inflicted on intuition and creativity at a very young age. And so I had all of this deep interconnection with my grandfather, with other people, being able to read them. And finally, my parents, who were both physicians, were so exasperated with all of my negative predictions, they just said, I'll never mention another one of your predictions again at home. Never. And so I was forbidden to talk about my intuitions when I was a little girl. And I grew up believing there was something wrong with me.